Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.
You've reached the stimulus check hotline. If you're dead and have not received your check yet, press 1. If you're dead and would like to return the money, press 2. If you're dead and are going to keep the money, press 3. And if you're dead, how did you call this number? Ha! You're busted. The FBI is monitoring this call, and you're about to spend the next 3 to 7 months in the slammer. You're going to wish you were dead.
/7:23, Jeff and Jen, Q102. Yeah, the U.S. Treasury Department, I guess, sent more than a million stimulus checks, not $1 million, a million stimulus checks to dead taxpayers.
That's a problem. That's a lot of money.
That's a hit of $1.4 billion.
Wow.
Right there. So not only is the government hoping whoever, you know, received those checks or family members or whoever's collecting the dead person's mail will return the checks. And they have also
good luck with
set
that.
Up that special hotline. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Has anyone... I was reading an article in the Cincinnati Inquirer a couple of weeks ago, and I think Fritz is the one who came across it, how some people are being asked to return their stimulus money, some of their unemployment money, because after receiving the money, they were later determined they didn't qualify. I haven't heard any more about it other than that short blurb that I wrote. I didn't know if that was anything, that was something that was affecting you or anyone that you know.
Not that I know of, but I do know that a lot of people they said that you have to take taxes out of it at the end of the year, I guess. You're going to have to pay taxes on all that money
That seems to keep changing every time they tell the story.
I did hear that.
And that's got to be difficult if you are out of work and you get that check, you spend that money, and then they determine later that you don't qualify, and now you're on the hook for that.
Yeah.
To add insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the coronavirus insanity going on out there, thousands of people showed up to a packed beach in England this week on its hottest day of the year so far, ended up leaving a ton of trash behind, and they apparently didn't have access to bathrooms either. It got so messy and crazy, at least one person defecated in a fast food burger box and ended up leaving it.
Why?
I'm assuming those bathrooms were closed because they weren't prepared to open because of the shutdown. In other crazy coronavirus news this morning, Chuck E. Cheese has filed for bankruptcy. That doesn't mean they're closing, but business has obviously been tough for them since the outbreak. We're seeing that with a lot of restaurants. Dos Equis is giving away 6-foot-long beer coolers today that are supposed to promote social distancing. You have to buy some Dos Equis and submit a photo of the receipt for a chance at one. The promo starts, I guess, at 11 a.m. Eastern today, and they only have a limited number. So if that interests you, you better get on it. What else do we have here this morning? Yeah, more adults are living with their parents or grandparents now than any other time in U.S. history. 2.7 million adults moved back home in with their parents in the months of March and April. Most of them are college aged, but you're not alone. Pakistan is saying that their outbreak is partly to blame for the plane crash that killed 97 people there last month. It turns out the pilots got distracted and forgot to lower the landing gear. What is it that distracted them? They were reviewing the cockpit flight recorder, and they were having this intense discussion about the coronavirus and just completely forgot to lower the landing gear. And what's crazy is they were so involved in this conversation, they were like conscious enough to attempt a second landing because they, I guess the engines had like scraped the ground in the first pass, and they went back again, and it still didn't occur to them that the landing gear wasn't properly deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And then one government official was warning people that evidently a third of the pilots in Pakistan have fake licenses.
Why? So that's an issue. Yeah.
You might want to consider that.
Yeah, before you get on.
When you're making travel
Air
plans.
Pakistan, is that what it's?
Pakistan International or something.
Okay, international.
What?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Well, you know, you ride it. You ride it along enough times and watch. You can.
An airplane.
Figure it out.
Big Earth.
Well,
lots
obviously,
of types of
I mean, they are landing a few of them.
License, right. It's a piece of paper. It's
right.
It's a technicality.
I remember going to Greece and we went on a boat tour into the ocean or the Aegean Sea or whatever it is there to go swim off this boat and feel the underwater volcano.
Oh, fun.
Cool. Let's go. So we sign up and we go. We pay our tour. There's 100 something people on this boat. And they're like, all right, it's time to get in the water. And people just start jumping off the boat. There's 150 people in the middle of the sea. No one counted. No one took attendance. And then it was like, all right, we're going. Everyone get back on. And I'm like, holy bleep. We could be left here. So like, yeah. As far as like regulations and stuff, it's different all over the world.
Yeah, here it is. More than 30%, 30% of civilian pilots in Pakistan have fake licenses and are not qualified to fly.
Wow.
That from the country's aviation minister.
Oh, wow.
How? Wow.
Revealing that.
He's still the minister of that.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know.
I'm in charge.
As the aviation minister, I have access to this information.
Oh, wow.
You might want to know. What else? Let's see. Oh, here you go. 1 in 7 people have worked from their bathroom. We have a lot of people working from home.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 7 people have worked from their bathroom since the crisis began, according to a new survey. Because, you know, when you got a full house of kids who are also home and you need a room.
Yep.
To Zoom.
There's your place. Room.
Yeah. I know. Crazy. So this CDC is estimating the true number of Americans who've had the virus could be way higher than anyone's been able to verify.
10 times, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're guessing it could be as high as 20 million.
Wow.
Yeah. New daily cases in the U.S., not the highest, second highest, 41,184 new cases with 649 new deaths. So that puts the total cases in the U.S. that they've been able to confirm at just over 2.5 million with more than 126,000 deaths and over 1 million people who have now recovered.
I mean, I know most everybody or a lot of people were excited about everything opening back up and they're getting out there and they're doing things. Are you guys getting the sense that now that there's this huge spike, that those people that have been going out and doing things are second guessing that decision and maybe dialing back on how much they're out there in the middle of stuff? Or do you think most everybody is still, we're going, everything's fine?
Based on where I've hung out and gone, it just to me feels like business as usual.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that, you know, we pick and choose where we go based on, can we be outside? Is it a little more chill than everyone packed in tight? But stuff is still, I think people are still following the rules, even though they're out. Mm-hmm. Like every restaurant I've been to, the seats are pushed apart.
Yep.
They have, you know, some tables have giant X's on them. Hey, we only have 6 people at that table. You got 7. You got to split it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily just that, though. It's also like, for example, I saw this story out of Kentucky that someone threw a surprise birthday party. And after the party, 19 people tested positive because they were just
at the party.
At the party.
Yeah, that was Texas. Family
Texas,
in Texas,
sorry.
Throwing a surprise birthday party late last month. 18 of them testing positive.
Yeah. I mean, like that kind of situation. We were just together for my birthday and Father's Day, you know, on the 21st. It's like
21st. So we got a few more days before we see the.
Yeah.
I'm on vacation next week, so you'll be fine. But I don't know. But that's the situation that I'm like, you know, we're not going out of town. We're still going to Kroger. We're still coming to work. You know, we're socializing here and there. But what if you just go to a loved one's house or something.
Yeah, you just don't know. And I find this really interesting, too, that there's a lot of talk that they're talking about, you know, younger people are getting it now, between the ages of 20 and 39. And the timing of everything. I mean, do you think there's a connection? I wish they would ask these people, or we could get some statistics of how many of these 20 and 30 somethings that are getting tested positive, how many of them were at a protest somewhere?
Oh, I would imagine quite a few.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Because, you know, it's funny, because why did the media, remember when there was in the Ozarks, there was that big party, and then that's all anybody talked about, these crazy people at the Ozarks. And then all these people got sick. We've had how many thousands of people at protests, and not a word about making the connection with
that.
Yeah. I heard him make a connection just now, just a few minutes ago this morning.
Did you hear it this morning? Because I had not.
Absolutely.
Prior to.
Yeah.
I also saw on my Facebook page, someone posted like the people that we're getting a spike because of the people that are going to bars, not protest. And I'm like,
I think it's all of it.
Yeah, I think it is all of it. How can you say it's
people
from the
that are
bars?
At protests are immune?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Fritch's birthday party.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Don't say that.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, we all collectively kind of made a decision that we didn't want to be cooped up in our homes after 2 months, and we wanted to get back to business as usual. And we convinced ourselves that we kind of had this thing under control, and that the safety protocols that we've installed are adequate. And, you know, we're proceeding on with our lives in the best and safest way we can. And
that's,
you know,
smart.
The gyms sued Governor DeWine, and the water parks, lawsuits are being filed, and
daycares are starting to sue.
And I think, you know, Governor DeWine, God bless him, you know, he knew he wasn't going to be able to enforce these things, but, you know, he put these policies in place for as long as he could, yeah. You know, knowing full well someone was going to wise up and say, hey, wait a second.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And then the minute the lawsuit would be filed, he'd be like, so I have some good news. Gyms can open tomorrow, starting tomorrow. Water parks, too.
Yeah.
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 So I think it's going to be hard to put that stuff, that genie, back in the bottle.
Mm, it's going to depend on how many people get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how close it is to those people being affected, you know?
Right. Mm. And, you know, we're seeing these huge record spikes in states like California and Arizona and Texas. And we're seeing a spike here, but our healthcare system isn't under the kind of stress they're seeing in states like California, Arizona, and Texas, where they're seeing rapid increases in ICU beds being occupied, hospitalizations. So a lot can happen. I'm wondering what it's going to look like in a month or two, because I've got some traveling to do.
Same.
My elderly mother wants to visit Florida. What's Florida going to look like in a month and a half? That's the other thing about, you know, just the world we've been living in for the past couple of months, is we've kind of been flying by the seat of our pants. Tough to make plans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and still a lot of time at home with not much for the children to do.
Yeah. Go for a walk. Feed the chickens.
Yeah.
Feed the goats.
Yep.
Learn proper street crossing exercises.
Absolutely. A little singing lesson here and there.
Yep.
What's Jacob working on in his new song anyway?
New song?
From Hot Girl Bummer?
He has. He's singing Ride It. And
we need audio.
I don't know where he picked this song up. I don't know if this song is in the B movie, because it seemed like he watched that movie and then this song. I love you, baby, and if you're fine, all right. I don't know.
Frankie Valli.
Yeah, that's what he is all about right now.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Yeah, he loves it.
7:37, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. All right, Cincinnati's Q102. It's Jeff and Jen, 7:45, mix of sun and clouds today, pop-up shower, and a high of 87. Right now, 67 at Cincinnati's Q102. Where did my turbo relationship story go? I had it, and then I lost it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll just be a moment. Sorry, it's a live show, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say, hey, can we stop and take this again? People are always saying how, you know, you got to be with someone for at least 2 years before you really know if they're right for you.
Sometimes more than that.
Yeah, I would argue, you know, 10 is probably a little more reasonable.
Probably a good, yeah. It's a lot of shifting and changing over the course of 10 years.
A lot can happen.
Because you just don't know. Are you going to grow together or are you going to grow apart?
So much can happen.
That's right.
But the lockdown might be moving that mark way up, causing something called turbo relationships. One thing, I got to give eHarmony credit because they sure do ask a lot of questions, which means they have a lot of data. And they talk to couples who recently moved in together.
According to that doctor guy, that's their whole thing. They figure it out
it's
for
the
you.
Data.
It's the science behind it, right?
Yeah, along with that song.
That's right. This will be. And over a third think the past 2 months have been the equivalent of 2 years.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of time. And you're spending together. I mean, if you usually spent 3 or 4 hours a day together and now you're spending 24 and in the middle of a crisis, I mean, this is... Crisis, you're going to learn a lot about another person in a crisis type situation.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Everyone that I've talked to that we've seen, most people haven't said anything negative or like, oh, they just always go, it's a lot of togetherness.
Yeah.
Which I think puts a nice little, you know, and yay at the same time. It's a lot of togetherness.
It's a lot of togetherness.
I love hearing about partners watching their partners work from home.
Oh, yeah.
And what they're learning about their significant other and their job. Because, gee, you don't really know what their day at the office is like. You get their side of the story. But to sit and watch them, listen to them interact with their coworkers and...
Well, and I always thought that, like, Scott, you know, I'm like, how hard can it really be? Which I'm sure is how he feels the exact same about my job. But then when I would watch...
He would be right.
Yeah, right. But when I watch him work, when I watched him work and how much he was on the phone and the way that he would talk to people and try to navigate through situations, I was like, wow, babe.
There's a lot to that.
Yeah. Like way more than I thought.
He was faking those phone calls.
Oh, no, he wasn't. Some of them I could hear.
Yeah, we learned that Christopher likes to sing a lot during his work day.
He does. He jams out to music when he's not on conference calls. He also is one of those super organized people that I could never do that. I could not do that type of job.
His logistics. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
All the meetings and all the people that have to be connected to get to the finish line. And
the conference calls that they would be on. I'm like, no, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. Did you guys find it sexy at all?
Sometimes, yeah. Just to listen to him talk. Does Chris
and
sing?
Sound real smart?
Yeah. Does Chris sing at work though? Like actual work? Would he just belt out a tune, or was that just because he was comfortable at home?
I doubt it. And he doesn't know anyone can hear him because he's got his headphones.
Right.
So I'll get home and he won't even know. And there he's singing Adele or
I love it, Lady Gaga,
Lady A or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're supposed to like be in a relationship for 2 years before you really know if they're right for you, the lockdown has changed that because, you know, most people feel like these 2 months have been like 2 years, considering all the togetherness. 28% of those folks said it's actually forced them to get better at communicating. 1 in 5 have discovered, wait, we got way more shared interests than I thought we did.
I do That's really cool. like you and what you do.
2/3 of those folks said the lockdown actually made their relationship stronger.
It did ours, 100%.
And over half said they now know for sure that their partner is definitely the one after going and living through that.
That's nice.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's had the opposite effect for some couples. 17% said the lockdown made them realize their relationship is over.
Oh, that's sad.
And 7%.
Is it though?
7% discovered an affair.
Yeah, because I mean, really, this whole working from home put a damper on those office romances.
The side action.
The side action, yes.
Yeah. We did have that conversation, though, like when we were released to kind of come back to work and all that stuff. I did say to Scott, like, now I know we could survive on a deserted island with just the two of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before I would have been like, eh, but
maybe
survival.
Right. So something else that's starting to rear its ugly head is with all of these people working from home, they're seeing more and more hacking going on with company computers because people, when they're working from home, aren't taking the same security precautions that they're used to taking at work, you know, with the IT guy making sure that you're changing passwords and not clicking on this and making you go through the training, because more and more people are just working from home. They're not thinking about security issues. So a lot of companies are being hacked through employees' computers at home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So that'll be interesting. But, oh, and by the way, today, let's see, yesterday I think was National Work From Home Day. Today is National Bring Your Pet to Work Day.
Oh, now you tell us.
Well, since so many
sort of did that on purpose,
that
didn't
was by
you?
Design.
What?
We didn't get a reminder note yesterday. Hey, what? Don't forget to bring the boys in.
Tim, have you ever brought your dog in here?
I think Steve stopped by to say hey a few times, but I don't think he's stayed the whole
four or five hours. The whole show.
No,
I've never. I don't know if I've ever seen him in the building.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it's easy to do. So many people working from home. A lot of dogs have been going to work every day anyway. Mm-hmm. So
Merle sure liked it. That extra me throwing the ball time.
When you were working
when
from home.
From
yeah.
Home, yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at CBGAirport.com.